All right. So here we are. Okay, could you hear me? All right, good. Okay, screen share. All right, now this makes it a lot easier. Okay, here we are. Here we are. Safari. All right, so here in this sefer, let's go to the pasuk Tanakh, Genesis, the book of Toldos 3. Here's the pasuk. All right, now we're in business. Down here, Rashi, and we have here the Targum. Unculus. Okay, so what does the word gay say? So the word gay say, he has some very nice stuff here. Wow, look at this. Look at this. This is impressive. I didn't know this. I didn't know he has such a nice thing here. Look in Gisa. Gisa? What is Gisa? Here it is. Okay. I have here what he's referring to. I'm going to read to you. I have here what he says over here with Gisa. Kosav bin Marpe Loshnal Pasek Vitim Chem Yosef Lechem Besusim Uve Mikne Hatzoyin Uve Mikne Habak Uve Chamayrein Mikan Nir Shein Neufel Shein Nikne Ela Al Tzoyin Ve Habak Loi Al Susim Ve Chamayrein Mugamalim. Okay. First principle we have to learn over here is that the word Mikne. Throughout Tanakh, we have very often mention of animals. When it comes to horses, you never have in Tanakh miknei susim. You never have in Tanakh the word, that's it, or donkeys, chamoirim. You never have in Tanakh the word miknei chamoirim, miknei susim. You only have in Tanakh miknei tsoin, and Mikne Bokor. Now, therefore, I'm reading you what it says, Mikan Yershe Mefel Loshem Mikne El Al Tzon Vabokor, V'loy Al Susim V'chamodim U'gamalim. And you never have Mikne Gamalim. How do you know this? Because we have a pasuk. The pasuk says that Yosef, when he met his brothers, he gave them gifts. What did Yosef give to his brothers? It says, Vayitein Lohem Yosef Lechem, bread, Basusim. He gave them bread, he gave to the people of Egypt. The people of Egypt, the citizens, in order that they should survive, they purchased bread with their possessions. What were their possessions? So it says, Spasusim, Uva Mikne Hatzoin, Uva Mikne Habokar, Uva Chamoirim. So in this pasuk, the pasuk uses the word Mikne in connection to Tzoin and Bokar, but it does not use the word Mikne in connection with Gimalim, and with Chamoirim, and with Susim. V'chein b'tagim sham, isa gisa mefal tzoyim b'bokar dako, v'hu shem ha-kibbutz shalohem, it means a collection. U'l'chei fi sh'ein derech la'aseis adonim l'chamoirim l'chatsuz v'gimalim, ein mefal b'cham ha-shem nikne a-gisa. V'yav shu l'fi ze gisa hu k'mo kito, milashun kat b'chiluf motzi ha-gimul ad-chal l'shoyne. Okay, so we've now discovered an incredible, fascinating thing. That in a yeshiva, what do you call a class in Hebrew? Kita. Kita Aleph, Kita Beis, Kita 9, 9th grade, 9th grade class, 10th grade Kita. Everyone knows that. The word Kita means a collection of students, or a collection of anything for that matter. That's what a class, we call a class a kita. So he explains that in Aramaic, a gimel can be interchanged with a chaf. So instead of using the word kita, a class, you call it a gita. So therefore, when it comes to sheep and bokar, it is common to group many of them together in one collection. But people do not group together many camels, many horses, or many donkeys in a collection. shepherds, they collect together many sheep and many cattle in a collection, in a corral. But no one collects together in a corral horses, camels, or donkeys. So therefore, you cannot say that we have the graduating class of camels, the graduating class of donkeys. There's no such thing, but you do have a graduating class of sheep, a graduating class of bokor. So therefore, it's shaykh the word kita. And kita, in Aramaic, you exchange the chaf for a gimel, that's why it's called kita. Basusim, Bachamadim, Bagmalim, Bagmatsoim, Asher Enum Eder, Asher Enum Eder, Gugoyim Behemos Yechidois, Bebayis, Ein Shumam Mikne, Mikonsu Bechlal, Bechol Behemtam. Okay, so he's saying over here another pshat. Adam Shah's word Mikne means an acquisition. An acquisition. A person's main acquisition that he possesses in this world are cattle. It is considered to be a primary asset. In America today, what's a person's primary assets besides owning land, having a house? A car. A car after a house is man's next most valuable asset. To own a car, it's the most expensive thing a person has. A car. So likewise, in the time of Chazal, a person's most basic asset would be sheep and cattle. Therefore, they're called mikneh, your possessions. This is how you're defined, like even today. Today you do a shidduch. So people, they may not ask it openly, but they're curious to know what kind of car does the person drive. We all know that it says something about a person. A person drives a Lexus. It's different than the person drives a Camry. Okay, I'm sorry, not a Camry. Camry is very expensive. I mean a Corolla, a Toyota Corolla. Person drives a Tesla. Two people. One person drives a Tesla, and the other is driving a Toyota Corolla. There's nothing wrong with a Toyota Corolla. I don't even have a Toyota Corolla. Okay, there's nothing wrong with the Halavai. Nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying is that on the spectrum of the different classes of possessions, it's a statement. It's a statement what a person possesses. Now you'll see that in America today, people they make believe, people who don't have a penny to their name, they're driving around with a Tesla. Okay, you're right, there are a lot of crazy people out there, a lot of strange things. But a normal person lives within his means, and if you're driving a Tesla, it means you're from a certain social status. If you're driving a jalopy, you're from a different status. So the Mela, in the ancient times, nothing changed. Nothing was different. The only difference was is that instead of looking at a person's car, if he had a Tesla, or if he had a jalopy, they would look at people, what kind of cattle do you have? Do you have high grade, 5-star cattle? Or do you have low quality cattle? Do you have what kind of bokor, what kind of tsoin? Obviously there were different types. There are different qualities. If we learn from a lava. The look of Lavan is gave Yaakov all of the spotted and the speckled, and Lavan would keep for himself all of the animals that were not spotted and speckled, or the ones that were damaged. Obviously, you learn from Yaakov and Lavan there were different categories of sheep, and what you own is a statement about your financial status, similar to the way today people look at other people, whether it's right or wrong, whether it's true or not, as where they stand in their social circles by looking at what kind of car they're driving. The male word mikneh means your primary acquisitions, your primary assets in this world would speak for you, define who you are. So Sach HaKol, I always wondered about this, Baruch Hashem, only because people like Blazer, and Mayer, and the Gladders, and everyone else that's come over here, they forced me to learn something at night. So this, I was curious about what it means, nickname, so nickname Volkar. We walk away from here with a whole cornucopia of Perush. Number one, it means, in the Targum translates it, not here, but all elsewhere, it means a Be'ira, an animal. Be'ira, that's the common translation of Unkelis for the word Mikne. Mikne somehow means an animal. Animals of Tsoim and animals of cattle. Because there are other types of animals. Okay, all different types of animals. Politicians, all different types of animals. There's a nickname, an animal called a tzoyin, an animal called a bakar. That's one shot. The second shot is targum in this papas. Paragraph is the word nickname means a geisei. What is geisei? Geisei comes from Gita. What is Gita? So here he cites the Medrash Seichel Tov, that what it means. He explains, who does he explain this from? I don't even know who he explains this from. That the word Gita is the word Kita, a cat, a class. And it means Tsoin and Bokar are types of animals which owners have a tendency to group many of them together in one setting. Sheep, you have a lot of sheep, you put them all together in the corral. Bokar, you put them all in a barn, whatever it is, you go and you lock them up in some type of fence. You put many of them together as a cat, as a group, similar to the way that we use the word kita today in modern Hebrew to refer to a class of students. And when it says in the Talmud the word with a gimel, because in Aramaic, the chaf can turn into a gimel, and therefore it's like kita. So it means over here, it means a collection of bokar and a collection of cattle, not animals of tzoyin, animals of bokar. And now we have another pshat, a third pshat, that the word mikne means an acquisition. And when we deal with tzoyin and bokar, we append the word mikne because this is for the honor of man, because this represents man's primary acquisitions in this world, in society. As I told you, what kind of car do you drive? Another thing, in today's society, this is something more modern, what kind of phone? It really is not a joke. What kind of phone do you use? People that are more upper class, when they think they're upper class, they use only an iPhone. Only an iPhone. And this is for the Hecher dimension. iPhone.
I'm the Hecher. I just bought an iPhone 14.
Hecher dimension. People like me, the schleppers, they know. People they use Android. And even on the Android, you have an Android, so what kind of Android? Do you have a Samsung? Or do you have from Chinese brand? You know, it's not a joke, it's a statement. It's a statement. What kind of person you have, it's your acquisition. Some people, depending on the clothing, how they dress their clothing. So in ancient times, Bokar and Tsoin represented your financial status. That's why we append the word Mikne. So Sach HaKol, you walk away from the Targum, from this three very interesting translations of what it means, what this word means, what it means, mikne. And basically, get this from the Targum, Be'ira, or Geisei, and then Derech Agav, we learn from the Ramban, that he learns no, it means an acquisition, a kinyan, konoi. Okay, next. Next topic is, it says, Avavudo Rabo. Avudo Rabo, so the Targum said, Vahavole geisei ono, a lot of sheep, vigeisei turn of oxen, ufolchono sagyo, work. And what does that mean? What does that mean? Ufolchono sagyo. So Rashi, we read the Rashi. Rashi was a very difficult Rashi. I don't really know what Rashi means to say. Vavudo rabo, pu'ulo rabo. What does that mean? Pu'ulo rabo. I don't know what that means. A workforce? I suggest it means he has a workforce. Servants on standby. Whenever you want something, you go to the store, buy me this. You drive me to this location. You have people, you need something, you have a workforce. Build me a sukkah. Do this to me. Things that people have to go and they have to, you need a plumber? One of my guys is a plumber. One of my guys is an electrician. You don't have to go shop around for people. You have servants, full-time staff, who have every skill you can possibly need. Lackeys, they're all ready to do work for you. L'chari, that's what it means. Avoida mashma, avoida achas, avuda mashma, pu'ula rabba. I still don't really know that I know what this Rashi means, but one thing is for sure, because we have a principle that Targum wrote his Sefer on Rashi, obviously, whatever Rashi is coming over here to make a statement, that means that Rashi took a look at the Targum and was not satisfied. Because if he was satisfied with what it says in the Targum, Rashi would have not have written that comment. Every comment of Rashi is triggered by a translation of Unkelus. And Unkelus said, Ufol Chona, obviously there's something about the word Ufol Chona that caused Rashi to wake up and write this entry. So here, Baruch Hashem, I have the Sefer. And the other Sefer doesn't really tell me anything, but I have here another Sefer today. And here it says, the word Ufol Chona, what does it mean of Avudah Sagi? And first of all, there are two different targums. On the screen, look on the screen, there's a parenthesis. It says in the targum, there are two different gersoids. It says Ufol Chona, and in the parentheses, it says Nun Aleph, which stands for Nusach Acher, Va'avudah Sagya, Ve'kaniu Ve'pilishtoe. So now, over here in this Sefer, luckily he has both, and he explains. Okay, Va'avudah Sagi, Ki Harav Ibn Ezra, Va'avudah, Avodim Ushvachoy She'yishabdu. Okay, so Baruch Hashem, we're having correctly. Avudah means servants. Servants, Miloshen Evet. Yitzchak had a workforce, people on standby to do for him whatever he wants. Car service drivers, pilots, people that do personal shopper. He had a coach to make sure to help him lose weight, right? You have to have a personal coach. You have a personal dietitian. Everything you can possibly want. You have a whole staff of people that work for you. That means avodim, vavudah rabba, vavudah sagi hochikarsim, vavudah kora v'targim. I'm reading over, you don't have this. V'chein hu b'mesor satargim, v'chein chasav. I don't know what that means. Which kolam asher yilu avodim shochos habit. Okay, very good. Everything is good. Let me explain. Servants. Then he writes, v'nira shabatargim uful chono sagi toyehu. Oh, he writes over here in this Sefer, says that whoever has the girsa, like we have over here on the screen, ufol chona, this is a mistake. The correct nusach is vavudah. What it says over here is a mistake. Why? Toyehu, the mashma, shahoyelo torah harbe, v'ulai beli toeles ve'ein ze shavach eleginai. The word ufol chona means a lot of work. He was very busy. Very, very busy. Pochana means he has a lot of things to do, a lot of activities, a lot of meetings, a lot of appointments. Dealing, that's not a good thing. The most valuable asset in life, we all know, is time. That's the most valuable asset, where you can choose what you do with your time. If every 5 minutes you have to go to put out a fire, an emergency meeting, to meet with this politician, that politician, meet with this person, that person, this lawyer, this doctor, this, that, and that, That's not a good thing. So what it says with Ufol Chona, that he had a lot of activities, a lot of work to do, that is not necessarily a shevach for Yitzchak. So therefore, that cannot be the correct translation. It's a mistake. The ein zeh shevach al ganai, the gam lo nema vavuda ela, doesn't say vavuda ela, ve'avuda ela vavuda. I don't know what he means by that over there. Okay, so that's a very important chiddush he writes over here. What he explains over here in this sefer. Okay. By the way, if you don't know what the Sefer is, you know what the Sefer I'm using over here? Maybe you're familiar with this. There's a very, very choshev set of svarim, which unfortunately people don't use too much, called Sha'arei Aron. Sha'arei Aron. It's like a 20-volume set on Chumash, where he goes through, you know what it is? It's like a Peshuta Shel Mikra. That's really what it is. Sha'arei Aron is basically Peshuta Shel Mikra, on steroids. No one ever put him in the cherem. Okay? That's what Shari Aaron is. So this person is, he's alive, Baruch Hashem. He also, lately, for the last number of years, he's been putting out his Sefer Shari Aaron Shulchan Aruch. So what he did last year is unbelievable. He goes through the Pesukim in very great deals, like 20 volumes, the set. He took out of the entire set, every time he explained the Targum, extracted it from the 20 volumes, and put it into a 2-volume Sefer. I guess he realized people are not buying this 20-volume Sefer, it's just too much. And there's a very great need to study Targum. Happens indirectly when he goes through the Peshuta Shel Mikra, and he goes through every single word in the Pasuk and analyzes what it means with all the Mefarshim, he also has an enormous amount of material on Targum Onkelos. So what he did was, he extracted from the 20 volumes every time he explained the Targum on the Pasuk and put it in a separate volume, in big letters. Shari Aaron is very small letters. This is very big letters. Brilliant idea. Brilliant idea. And tonight we had benefit from this by understanding what it means mikne, and understanding what it means here, the word va'avuda, and knowing that it's not correct to say ufol chanok, because that would not necessarily be a shevach to Yitzchak. Okay, we're going to stop over here. Thank you very, very much for coming, everyone. And everyone, may you all have a wonderful evening. Yeshu koyach to all of our...
We had 4 hashis tonight.
Good
night. Unbelievable. Good night. Maybe you want to change your name. Maybe you want to change your name. We'll have 5.
My name, I have a name.
It's Taka. Very, very interesting. What are the chances? 4 heshis. Three heshi Klein, heshi Barth, heshi Glatter.
Heshi Glatter. Heshi Appledorf.
Who's heshi Appledorf? All right, everybody. So thank you for coming. Good night. Sei gesund. Sei gesund.
So when he left over,